Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and a Patriots Monday after an absolute beatdown of the Carolina Panthers, 42-13, the final yesterday. And that, Wiggy, is what a Mike Vrabel coached football team is supposed to look like. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, that to me was an unbelievable game all around, other than the first drive. Then possession that the Carolina Panthers had after that, it was all New England and everybody contributed in some way.
The most important part was that there were no turnovers. And I'm going to be interested to ask Mike Vrabel what changed in practice, if anything. What did they do different in practice, if anything, to ensure that that would happen? Because is that just against a Panthers defense that's not that good? Or did they turn a corner to figure it out?
Well, that's going to be the argument, is that big whoop, it's the it's the Carolina Panthers.
I love a good big whoop.
A big whoop. Big whoop.
Yeah.
Who cares?
The only bright spot for the Panthers was their head coach looks felt. Everything else, what a tight shirt he had.
Dave Canales, smoke show.
Right. Well, Shime, good to hear from you. You came up a lot yesterday in Lincoln.
Awesome.
And
thanks.
At Fenway Park, according to Ken Laird, that the press box was flummoxed by the news that Shime was a furry.
I mean, it has everybody buzzing in New England.
Right.
Who cares about that kind of thing?
It wasn't just the Prosecco. That was buzzing. That game was the first time in a very long time where I sat back and was like, oh, this is relaxing. It's an enjoyable watch. There was no doubt.
Sean, take a victory lap. Great performance by your boy yesterday.
Another very efficient performance. He didn't have to be flashy. It didn't have to be special. He was just efficient again. And I think that's kind of the thing with him, right, is in those games, like the two wins, he has been almost perfectly efficient, completing an insane percentage of his passes. I mean, he's completing like 75% of his passes this year, which is a number I didn't think he'd come anywhere close to after seeing him in 10 games last year. Like, I'm very happy with the way he performed yesterday. I think he was very smart with the ball, really didn't make any bad decisions. And, like, you know, every quarterback on the planet is going to make one or two kind of like crappy throws into the ground, and he had two of those. I mean, he only had three incompletions. Great job by him yesterday.
I'm not going to buy into the Carolina Panthers thing, oh, you played the Panthers, because I watched plenty of football yesterday, and there's no team – I don't care in the AFC or the NFC that stands out like, okay, this is the team. Week in and week out, it seems like anybody can get beat. I don't care who you are. The only teams that I look at and I go, okay, they have shown like they've been down and they were able to come back and win is Philadelphia, and Buffalo has shown like they're a team that can, even though they played a close game in New Orleans, they won. But other than that, I'm not concerned with any other team in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, you get one this week. So you get Buffalo is 4-0, and certainly. But you're right. I mean, I watching that Chiefs game yesterday, certainly Patrick Mahomes looked more like Patrick Mahomes than he has. But
Baltimore didn't look like they were, my Super Bowl favorite.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Their defense sucked.
It's so
their
bad.
Their offense may get worse and worse.
Right. I want to give one little credit, too, because Drake May, historic. Yesterday, he became the first player under the age of 24 with at least two touchdown passes, a completion percentage of 75 or higher, in three consecutive games with a minimum of 15 pass attempts per game.
That's the franchise right there.
I mean,
that's your franchise.
I thought Josh pretty good game by the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. Sean, what did you make of the play calling yesterday?
It was really good at times and then pretty good at other times. Like, it was a solid day for Josh McDaniels, I thought.
Okay.
Especially that one drive. What was that? That first actual touchdown drive that they had. I thought that was masterful play calling, is the way I would say it.
You like the jet sweep and then the fake jet sweeps and all that?
I thought, like, Wiggy, on that drive, you finally saw movement, like you saw motion before the snap, and then, shocker, in the red zone, you boot Drake May. What a revelation. He gives him an option to throw or take it in himself, and he took it in himself for an easy touchdown. Like, that to me was exactly how you should run this Patriots offense.
I also don't think that Shime's giving Drake May enough credit, because you just bring up in the last 3 weeks, the two wins. Like, you got to look at him against Pittsburgh. His completion percentage was pretty good then, too. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Pittsburgh's defense yesterday in Dublin. They're a tough defense, I thought. Like, they were getting after the quarterback left, right, and center all day, all morning yesterday.
Right.
And so you have to consider that game as well, even though it was a loss. Like, Drake May is performing really, really, really well.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. I think he's doing everything that you're asking him to do. Shime's right. You're putting him in a position where he can utilize his legs, especially in the red zone, whether it's off bootlegs or nakeds or things like that, where he has a two-way goal if no one's there, tucking and run. I just think, like, you know, the parity now in the NFL is, I think, is
more than ever.
Yeah, it's so pretty cool.
So it's really from your perspective, it as Curtis said, it hasn't been like this. There hasn't been this much parity in a while.
No, I mean, think about it. Like,
look at the Panthers. They shut out the Falcons last week.
Right.
They give up 42 points this week. The Falcons, who were shut out by the Panthers, win this week. Like, there's really no rhyme or reason, it seems, through four games.
And I'm going to ask Vrabel that. Like, when I played, it was New England dominated the AFC. Like, it was really difficult to be able to beat New England, and you knew every year that was the team that it was going to be hard to beat them. When you look at this AFC, and I'll just keep it in the AFC because that's where New England is, what team scares you and says, that team is going to be, even if we play our best game, we're not going to be able to beat them?
If Buffalo plays,
I would have said Buffalo.
If Buffalo plays well this weekend, I don't think the Patriots could win.
But see, the thing is, they have to play well, right? Where New England could roll the ball out there before, not play well, and you're going to lose. Where I think when you look at Buffalo and you look at this team, if you're able to slow down that offense, which doesn't have like a ton of offensive, like, firepower and weapons at the wide receiver position, you could beat that Buffalo Bills team. Where
Twitch chat is already telling you to slow down. You got to pump the brakes.
Saying New England's going to beat them. I'm just saying, when I look at the AFC, Buffalo is not what New England used to be, or they're not even, in my opinion, what KC was a few years ago when they had complete dominance of the AFC. I think they're a good team. I think they're the best. Don't get it wrong. I think they're the best team in the AFC. But they're not, like, miles ahead of everybody else. They have, you know, probably the best player in Josh Allen, but their team is not miles ahead of everybody. Like, they don't have a great coach. Their defense can be hit or miss at times. So I think that's what I'm saying when I look at the AFC, that you sit here and you go, all right, we have a chance, maybe not to win a Super Bowl.
And you're saying Josh Allen, best player in the AFC, not Patrick Mahomes, best player in the AFC.
I would say Josh Allen right now, and, you know, maybe Lamar's nipping at his heels. But, yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the face of the NFL, but Josh Allen is obviously playing the best right now.
Through four games, Drake May's having a better season than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I mean, Josh Allen to me is at the peak of his power. He's the MVP this year, just like he was last year. And if the Bills play well, the Patriots will lose. But I do, Shime, would love the anytime touchdown odds for Steph Diggs, because they're going to get him a touchdown Sunday night in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Just book it.
100-yard game for him yesterday and a couple key moments. And so maybe the two of them are finding their rhythm, whatever.
Weird answer from him after the game, though. When they asked about how comfortable he is in the offense, he said he's a 5 out of 10. So I'll be interested to know from Mike Vrabel, like, what is that? Is that just how he's playing with his teammates, his comfortability with Drake May, or is it just how he's feeling coming back from injury? He's still not at a 10 yet. Because Drake was asked about Steph. He said it's nice to see him getting more and more comfortable, which I thought was interesting. But then to hear Steph Diggs say he's a 5 out of 10.
Maybe that's his role in the offense, but that's who he is, right? Like, Steph Diggs is a possession receiver. That's what he is. Mm-hmm. He's not somebody that's going to go out there and defensively, teams are going to be like, all right, we need to double this guy. He's not going to be a guy that goes out there and goes off and kills the defense. He's a guy that is a very good possession receiver. He's a guy that he's showing he's got good hands. He can make the tough catches. But he's not, we were sitting there watching the Pittsburgh Vikings game. He's not catching a bang eight like DK Metcalf and going 80 yards.
Yeah. That was awesome, by the way.
Yeah. And I thought it was really impressive that Greg diagnosed the bang eight live. Yeah, it was really.
While eating bangers
mash. while I was enjoying the Irish nachos at Lincoln yesterday. I do want to thank everybody who came out for our Jameson brunch yesterday.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, James is just getting old right before our eyes. Active, engaged, running around the place, having conversations. He's like a real human being.
Oh, there
being.
He is.
He's a real human being. There he is.
It was awesome. You guys are all so kind, and it was so much fun. Honestly, it was a great – I was thinking we were walking back and how we're going to be in Rhode Island this weekend. You guys were together Saturday for Ty's event.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's just like – it feels just relaxing. Like, it's so uncommon to have people you work with.
That you like,
and to go out and have a nice, you don't like fake it like some shows, you know,
yeah.
Or another one where they don't even talk to each other. One guy's getting medevac from Nantucket, but it was a great time. I had a blast, and the food was awesome. James was the best age right now, I would say.
I got to tell you something. The Irish nachos, which we talked about on the show beforehand, what they were going to be, they weren't quite potato chips. They were like slivers of potato
that were crisped,
that had been crisped.
Yes,
but then they had you had the creme fraiche.
Yep.
You had the cheese,
some type of aioli on it,
and then you had corned beef. Yeah. I think and some bacon in there. It was really good. I tried one. It was fantastic.
It was delicious.
Wiggy, to be clear, because they are all over you. Some are all over you in the Twitch chat.
Yep.
You're not suggesting that the New England Patriots, after this win yesterday, are on par, same level as the Buffalo Bills?
No, I'm not saying that.
You gotta clear it up for Game Dog and others.
That's fine. What up, Twitch? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you look at the AFC, Buffalo is the best team, my opinion, but they're not so far ahead of everybody else. And if you were to say they're the best team, I don't know who would be second, is what I'm saying, is that the AFC is wide open. The parity there is, you know, I thought it was Baltimore, but I don't know. Baltimore didn't look great against the Kansas City team that
so bad in that game.
Yeah, it's like Kansas City, don't get it wrong. Like, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes, but they're not a team that's been lighting the world on fire. Then you bring up the Chargers. I know they had some injuries, but, you know, the Chargers didn't look great. I thought Cleveland would, you know, their defense is good, but their offense stinks. Pittsburgh, you know, you never know what's going to happen with Pittsburgh. I just don't think there's a team that, you know, you go like, oh, they dominate after Buffalo.
Well, you said it. You're going to be able to ask Mike Vrabel about the parity in the league and everything else. Mike Vrabel will join us in about 15 minutes here on a Patriots Monday from Gillette Stadium. In the meantime, rivalry renewed. Sox-Yankees, Curtis. Oh. And that three-game series gets underway tomorrow night. Ooh. Yankee Stadium, and the Red Sox down there this season are 5-2. So the Red Sox have had their number a bunch of times this season, and so seems like a very winnable wild card series for the Boston Red Sox.
And the Patriots, the Red Sox are underdogs in Game 1 with Crochet on the mound. I feel like that's pretty good investment opportunity. Obviously, Fried's a great pitcher for the Yankees, but I am so pumped. It's going to be an awesome. I've never seen a team in this playoff format. It was only the one game play in 2021. So all the games will be at Yankee Stadium. But if they win two out of three, they'll be taking on the Jays.
Yeah. All right. Well, a lot to talk about and valiant effort by the U.S. team in the Ryder Cup yesterday, which I thought was great television. But Wiggy didn't watch a shot because he doesn't like it. But I really enjoyed that near comeback yesterday afternoon.
I was nervous watching it, which is not that common these days. Ever since my Whoopi retired, like I don't get that emotionally invested unless BC kicks me in the nuts like they did Saturday. But Sunday, the stakes. You're alone on a tee box in one of the most difficult courses in America, with the hopes of a nation on your shoulders. You can't have it. You have to win each hole.
Yeah.
And these guys in their 20s are I would be shime against you.
Oh, Curtis, that shot by Russell Henley out of the bunker was
one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
It was, but the nerves got to him off the tee. I mean, that's he splayed that thing left like you did. But Cameron Young making that putt, like as a rookie,
he should have played more in the foursomes. Like I don't know why he didn't play in the opening set of foursomes. It was disappointing.
Yeah, and he was honestly awesome. I mean, do you think Keegan Bradley should have had himself play? Like I appreciate the.
So I don't even know that it's have himself play, but like why are we rolling out Harris English, Colin Morikawa not once but twice? Like that I think like Data Golf said it was the 132nd out of the 132nd ranked possible pair they could have put out.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like we got screwed on the withdrawal. Like, I don't.
Can you explain that to me? Because...
Yeah. So so you end up in other play country v like the Sondheim Cup or whatever. If your guy has to withdraw because of an injury, the other team gets the point on the match. Ryder Cup, it's only happened twice or something, but they split, so it was a half point and a half point. That's not fair. That because Victor gets hurt and can't play, that's not the fault of the United States of America. That's on the Euros.
So what would preclude, let's say the Americans have a golfer that's just trash and he's going to be partaking in the singles like they all do because all members of the team do.
And you tell him fake an injury.
Then we split it.
And then we can split. It's not.
Or
wait
until the matches are set up. And so whoever has Rory, whoever has the most impressive opponent from the other side, you just say, I can't play.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Europeans were just so much better. Like, it was putting. I mean,
they putted the lights out, Greg. You're 100% right.
They had eight out of the nine best, like, if you include the Ryder Cup, eight of the nine best putters in the game and on that team, and they just...
I think it was Saturday afternoon, like, when the crowds were really getting to Rory, Shane Lowry was just sinking every big putt he needed to, and that just kept them up the entire time.
What hole was it yesterday where Rory like looked at the crowd and made like a really big celebration where
everyone,
he was like puffing
it was everyone.
His chest? But there
it
was one in particular. He's like screaming at the crowd, puffing his chest. I was like, all right.
He lost too.
Yeah,
it was my favorite part.
He did.
Oh, well, USA got to step their game up against the Euros.
Was there anything more on brand than Lowry winning it for the Europeans and within 30 seconds spotted having a Magner cider?
Nothing. So you got to wait till next year. Is that the thing? Is the
right? Two years.
All right.
2 years.
In Ireland.
And it will be, it's in Ireland.
All right. Well, circle back in 2 years. Yeah. Great golf talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sam Martin, the veteran, for the punt, and Marcus Jones. There was no fair catch at the 12, and he squeezes out of it. Marcus Jones down the sideline. Walker's in front, past the putter. Marcus Jones, and that's a punt return for a touchdown.
Chris, you're so used to this fair catch happening. I think they shocked. I think they shocked the Carolina Panthers. No fair catch, and then it's all individual effort by Jones. He's got a convoy of guys right here. Punter's not going to get him, and that is untouched for the touchdown.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for a Patriots blowout, Keefe?
I am ready. They needed that. They needed that one.
They now, really did.
I would have taken a 2-point win, and we could have been like, all right, you're 2-2. Let's see what happens this week. But no, you needed that one. The way things were going, you lost a couple of 50-50 games already to start the season. 1-2, not a great start. Carolina, not a great team. You're at home. You can't go to 0-3 at home, for God's sakes. And, yeah, not only did they get the win, they got some style points and smacked them around pretty good. So I will take it.
I agree with exactly what you said off the top. They needed it. They needed a beatdown like this, an easy one, or at least a stress-free one, like for the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Going into what will be a massive game this week against Buffalo. We said it all last week. You can't be 1-3 with three losses at home to the Raiders, who looked like trash again yesterday. Geno was terrible.
Ooh, Ashton Jeanty, though.
He looked great.
Guy was a beast.
I'm not taking any victory laps, but he looked great.
He was great.
Took him a while.
Yeah.
The Panthers, and then in the middle, Pittsburgh. Maybe Pittsburgh's a little better than we gave him credit for.
Right.
If you watched that early game yesterday. But three losses, all winnable games at home going into Buffalo on national TV.
Like, forget it.
You're shaking your head.
All these 9-10 win totals, you're like, there's no chance if you dig yourself that kind of hole.
That was a recipe for a big, giant no-no. This, they needed it.
Oh, my God, did they need it.
They needed it in the worst way. And look,
it didn't start out that way.
No. Yeah. It's Buffalo, but then, Keith, it's New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta. Like, you want to let your mind start to wander a little bit after that Buffalo game. A win like this allows you to do that, and a loss wouldn't allow you to do that.
They have, not to do the whole schedule game right now, they have three good teams left. And two of them are Buffalo. So two good teams. They have three tough games left. Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Because my guy Baker, I know they lost
Tampa, Buffalo, Buffalo. You're not counting our Super Bowl champion Baltimore on there anymore because they're now 1-3.
Oh, my bad. Four.
Okay.
So four tough games. Yeah, no. They are 1-3. Their defense isn't great. No.
I thought you would knock the Ravens out.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's just my eyesight looking at the schedule. I missed the little Raven logo.
Cincinnati looked like one of those games, and now without Burrow,
they were one of the ones, and now they're not. So I knew there was one less. But anyway, yeah, so it's Buffalo. So it's Josh Allen twice, it's Lamar, and it's Baker. You have a stretch where you can pile up a lot of wins, and this was obviously one of them. This might end up being one of the worst teams that you face, but there's a pile of them. There's a lot of teams kind of similar to Carolina. So what was that going to look like? Are you showing any kind of improvement as it goes on? And I'll tell you, the first 5 minutes of the game, you're thinking, maybe not.
It was so bad.
I'm like, oh, wow.
The start was so unbelievably bad. I don't know what Vrabel does Monday through Saturday. Like, I really have no clue what he's doing.
Hard to say.
Getting the team ready. And or the lack of getting the team ready.
But then they were a house of fire. But yeah, it was the combination. And once again, we say this about the first two home games that they had. It was not just a slow start defensively, but offensively as well. So they give up a 7-play, 76-yard drive, and you're like, what?
And it was
to Carolina.
I can't believe it took seven plays. That was so easy. I can't even believe it took that long. I felt like two plays. They just marched right down the field.
No, it was a 12-yard run, a 9-yard run, penalty in there, 9-yard pass, 3-yard run, 16-yard pass, 16-yard pass, 7-yard touchdown pass. You're like, geez.
So
you guys want to mix in like a stop in here?
So unbelievably easy. Then the Pats go 3-and-out. Drake was lucky he didn't throw a pick.
Really, no,
probably his only bad throw of the day.
Yeah,
was his first throw.
Although
of the day.
I'll tell you what, missed extra point is always a sign of like you're kind
it's
of
coming back to you.
Yeah. And so you do that. So Carolina has this great momentum. They go all the way down the field and it looked like they had no resistance at all. You missed the point. There's just something about it. We're like, oh, it's 6-0. You had that awesome drive and it's 6-0, not 7-0. And then the Patriots give the ball right back to him. Yeah, thank you. And then the Patriots give the ball back to him. And you're like, is this going to be like a grind it game? No, it's not. And you can thank Marcus Jones for that. Because he is the best punt returner in football.
Well, we gave him two Pro Bowlers before the year,
right? He was one of them.
Because they're going to warm out a couple of special teams Pro Bowlers. But you're right. I mean, they were marching down the field again.
Yeah.
8 yards, 4 yards, another penalty on the Patriots. 15 yards, incompletion, 2 yard run on third down, which I don't know what they were doing
their
on third down.
Carolina's first two possessions, they racked up over 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and then Marcus Jones is like, I'll take it from here.
They decided not to kick a field goal. They decided not to even try on third down. Then they decided not to kick a field goal. Schlereth, who I thought was mostly good on the broadcast yesterday, he's good with afternoons, was like, hey, it's a good job, good decision to punt. They punt to Marcus Jones, and he turns the game around. Like, single-handedly turns the game around.
And this was an, I mean, we all saw it. It was an incredible return. You know, when they gave up the punt return a couple weeks ago, it was one of those where it was such a blast that the guy catches it and there's no one around him. And you're like, okay.
He's just got lots of real estate.
He kind of dances tough and then he makes a couple guys miss. This was wild because it looked like he was bottled up. And you're like, okay, whatever. Like, he's taking a chance, kind of risky. You're like, oh, he's still going. And then it was one of those ones where, like, there was like eight guys in the end zone with him. Like, everybody was free. There was guys past him. Like, where is everybody?
I know eventually he got tackled by the punter on the one later in the first half.
Another one, yeah.
But the second he had, you saw the blocking convoy and just the punter, you're like, oh, he's gone.
This guy.
He is like, out.
This guy, see you later.
So an unbelievable.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Unbelievable punt return yesterday, which really did turn the game around. I don't think that's oversimplifying anything yesterday.
No, not at all.
I'm sure you've seen this stat. With 167 return yards on three punt returns, he set the single game franchise record passing Mike Haynes back in 1976. That's a record that stood for a long period of time. And he had three of them yesterday. It was a 19-yarder as well. He could have had a second one that he took back to the house. Mm-hmm. Excellent game for him. I like this answer from Marcus Jones after the game. This is a good way to describe Marcus Jones, the punt returner.
Marcus, congrats on your big day today.
Appreciate it.
On the broadcast, they were surprised you didn't fair catch the punt that you took back.
Yeah.
It was pretty deep. Do you have, like, given your skills, do you have, like, special rules with the coaches that you're allowed to return more? Or did you think about fair catching there? Or, you know, what went through your mind, I guess?
I'm pretty ruthless back there. So mainly what I kind of worry about is the gunners. You know, if the gunners are blocked, then I'm like, all right, I can kind of return it. So I had a little bit of space and I was just like, man, I know those guys trust me a lot and everything, and I trust them, you know, to make the right block. So we kind of went from there.
Ruthless.
I'm a little ruthless back there.
Good word.
I love it. It's like, well, if the gunners are blocked, nobody else was, and you still grabbed it. There's like three guys around you, and then he made a play. But no, we knew, like, watching him his whole career, he's a real weapon. And I know the jokes last year were about, hey, Alex Van Pelt, you know he plays offense, right? But even aside from that, like, just anytime he gets the ball kicked to him, he's a guy that can tilt the field. Like, he's getting to the point now where if you're the other team, you need to consider, like, I don't know, we might give up some field position and just kick it out of bounds. Like, don't even kick to this guy.
I was surprised they kept kicking to him.
Yeah, right. He just showed you, and then they're like, let's try it again. And it's like, then he almost did it again.
Then they did it again.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, well, they're like, the Panthers. Okay. They're the Panthers. I don't think the Bills are going to kick to him five times.
So I think that's a relevant piece to this game, and you guys can discuss all day long on a Patriots Monday. Pats win 42-13. They are back to 500. Massive game on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo against the Bills. We'll be talking about that all week long as well. It's 617-779-7937, your phone and text number. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat Twitch, which
is back up and running.
You can do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI.
He leads the league in punt return yards.
Yes.
He's a stud.
I would say after yesterday, I would hope so. So, the special teams, Marcus Jones and his impact is the Pepsi key takeaway brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Was yesterday, Keith, about the Patriots, or was yesterday about the dog crap team on the other side, the Carolina Panthers?
No, I'm going to give the Patriots credit. You know, I think they, we said how they needed this, but they, after a bad series for both the offense and the defense, they did respond. And I think in part they're going to have a good record because they play a lot of bad teams, but you still have to beat those bad teams, right? Like, the Raiders aren't a great team, and they lost that game, and that was on them. I will give them credit for taking this Carolina team and just really second quarter on destroying them. And just like they played well. They played well on both sides of the ball. And it's not a one-off. You know, it's not like Carolina is the only team with a bad coach and quarterback that you're going to see all year. Like, more than half their schedule is like this. So I guess in a Weasley way, I'm sort of answering it both ways. But, you know, because that team is not very good. So you need to take advantage of their mistakes and you know, the stuff that they can't do. We went in on Friday saying, they got one rookie receiver who's pretty good, nobody else. They got Chuba Hubbard who's fine. That's it. We always play the game on Friday. What one player would you want on the other team? We're like, I don't know.
It's a hard week.
J.C. Horn, I guess. Like, we didn't really want it. Like, nope, nobody? Can we get two next week? Can we get two Bills and none
of
these
guys?
Can we
save one? Yeah.
I don't want it over. I don't want anybody.
We'll treat it like Kraft treats the salary cap. Let's roll that over to next week. Yeah.
I'll take this roster. But, like, the league very much it has this giant middle ground. Like, most of the league is in the middle, and at the end of the year could be separated by 2, 3, 4 wins. And so you have to win this game. But they did it after that slow start so impressively that I'll say this was them. They deserve all the credit for this.
Yeah, I mean, my only gripe yesterday was the crappy start.
That was it, really.
And, you can't afford to do that against good teams. But here's the thing. I agree with you. I think this was more about the Patriots than about Carolina, who was, no matter how you want to spin it, a big factor. That is a bad team. I can't believe Nick picked them to go to the playoffs. That's embarrassing. That Nick had Carolina as a playoff team in our preseason prediction.
I should have picked the Chargers.
That is just a really embarrassing thing.
Chargers down bad today, too.
The Titans stink, too. I can't believe I picked them.
Yeah, bad picks. Just terrible picks by Nick.
That's right.
Pretty embarrassing.
Jones picked the Panthers and the Titans. Now, there is something to be said about going bold.
1-7 right now, combined. Yeah, which is not looking so great.
No.
But look.
And the Titans head coach is trying to fight people after the press conference.
No, I think we need him fired to turn the Titans season around. But when it comes to the Panthers, they're a big factor yesterday. Yeah. There's no getting around it. But here's the thing. Even if your answer is, yesterday was about the Trash Panthers and not about the Patriots, and it was just some long returns from the punt returner and a missed field goal that gave the Patriots a short field, because I am a little cautious of the McDaniels mafia that's out there today. Like, the people that are like, oh, Josh McDaniels is in his bag yesterday.
Yeah.
All the usual suspects on the Patriots beat, like, who like Josh McDaniels and probably get information from Josh McDaniels. Like, yeah. I'm a little skeptical of the McDaniels mafia today. They had all short fields, and Marcus Jones was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I want to see how that develops against a team like Buffalo. But even if your answer is Carolina's terrible and come talk to me a week from now, well, Keith, I give the Patriots credit because Vegas is terrible and they lost to them. Safe. Pittsburgh, I don't think, is very good.
No, they got a good record, but
Miami isn't good, and the Patriots barely beat that team. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know they could even beat bad teams. So I'll give the Patriots credit for that. And if your answer is Carolina, the good news is the whole schedule is loaded with teams like Carolina.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Tennessee, who we were just talking about, Cleveland, Atlanta. You get the Jets a couple of times in there. The Giants, I know they won yesterday with Jackson Dart. Miami again. Like, this is why in the preseason we were talking about the Patriots as a playoff team. There's so many of these games, and I think now we know the Patriots should be able to beat this caliber of team. I thought they could. The other opportunities they had, they didn't really do it. Now they did it. So I do think yesterday was more about the Patriots.
Yeah, because I think the question going into the year was, would other teams like Carolina, Cleveland, New Orleans look at the Patriots and be like, hey, this is our week to win? Or would you say, no, that's another team that is a notch above them? Because there needs to be a separation there. Like, you might not be Philadelphia or Buffalo. I would say Baltimore, but they're actually off to a terrible start. You have a better record than Baltimore. But you know what I mean? Like, those top kind of Super Bowl contending teams, can you be ahead of, like, the rest of the pack? And that's why I think this was such a massive game for Mike Vrabel. Like, this was significant. Because if they were 1-3, and if they had lost all these very winnable games so far to start the year, you're like, just give Gerard Mayo another season. Like, at that point, if you're 1-3 with this, like, you need to be able to turn it around, because you don't have a tough game until week 5. And then if you're, like, stumbling over yourself, you're not making any kind of corrections. You know, this is a team going into the game with a million penalties, a million turnovers. You're like, all right, what are you doing? Like, are you making this team more professional or not? So they desperately needed it. The whole squad needed it, but I think Vrabel individually probably needed it the most.
Agreed. And I want to get to his what this says about him, and we questioned it going in, so I'll give him some credit coming out. But when it comes to the performance yesterday, it wasn't a close game. Like, this wasn't a final possession, close game, white knuckle, hang on to your hat sort of win over Carolina. Because then I might say, boy, that you barely beat this trash Panthers team.
Right, right.
You blew them out.
Oh, you smoked them.
You know, and so it didn't start great, but whatever. You're allowed to have a bad start if you're going to put up 42 points and dominate going away. So that's why I give them credit for that yesterday, but perhaps you disagree. Who was it more about, the Panthers or the Patriots yesterday? And even if you answer the Panthers, the good news is there's a lot more easy teams on this schedule. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number here on a Patriots Monday. We'll get to what happened in week 4 of the NFL coming up a little over an hour from now at 11:30. As we do every Monday, we'll talk to Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis as we do every Monday. And we'll get to the Red Sox later on in the show.
Yes, sir.
They are a playoff team.
You better believe it.
They get the Yankees.
Good.
Friday night was awesome.
It was.
Didn't start awesome, but it was awesome.
Yep.
And so we'll get to the Red Sox later on in the show as well with all your phone calls. Again, it's 617-779-7937. A reminder, Football Talk on WEEI presented by Paramount+. You can't count on much but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local game every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You started to get to this, Keith, but what does yesterday's win and the whole week resulting in a blowout win say about Mike Vrabel?
It says, you know, maybe he was the right call, right? Or at least, you know, it's still TBD. He's not the wrong call. He's not the wrong choice. And his team has listened to him. His team has responded. It's 1 week. You want to see him kind of pair some of these together and keep it going. But the difference between 1-3 and 2-2, despite it being just one game in the loss column and one game different, was massive based on the teams that you were playing. And we're like, all right, there's a lot going on this week. You know, Ramondre Stevenson. What are you going to do with Ramondre Stevenson? I can't say I agree with it.
Me neither.
But the first play of the game, they hand the ball to Ramondre Stevenson. I'm like, this guy shouldn't even be out there. And he shouldn't be active. If he is active, he shouldn't be starting. But he does. He tries to try to send a message. And we'll see in the long run if that ends up paying off. But the team was early on, you're like, all right, is it going to be like last year? How much better is this team going to be? And they responded. They definitely needed it, especially at home, that like that aspect of it too. So doesn't mean that like smooth sailing necessarily the rest of the way, but on a week-to-week basis, this was a really good response to how the week three game went. And now you feel like a little bit better, right? You can like a little bit of a sigh of relief. But yeah, for Mike Vrabel, like, you would have felt so polar opposite had this game gone the other way.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, good. Like, this is like check mark for Mike Vrabel.
What it says about Vrabel is he's not going to let it be a Mayo-esque disaster. That's not going to happen with Mike Vrabel. And I've drawn a parallel to the Patriots from a year ago, yeah, and how they looked, and they're not that different than Gerard Mayo's team. They're undisciplined. They turn it over. He says questionable things here and there. But he's not going to let it be a full-blown disaster.
Yeah.
I'm sure the schedule goes hand-in-hand in that. But through 2 weeks, Keith, or there have been two different games in the first month, rather, where we've come in and said, Vrabel's on trial. Like, the whole thing is on trial top to bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they answered the bell against the Dolphins in week two. They did it again yesterday. So Vrabel is a good enough head coach and has a strong enough hold on the team, and I think we can see that through the first month. He's not going to let it be a disaster.
Right.
They may not make the playoffs. They may not win as many games as we want. They are still too undisciplined. 7 penalties, 53 yards. I didn't like how he handled the Ramondre Stevenson thing, or even Pop Douglas, though I preferred how he handled that comparatively.
Uh-huh.
He's still going to say things that piss me off. And the team still does not know how to start games. You gave him the advice, Keith.
Mm.
Tell him they're starting at 12:30.
You might have to go earlier now.
Noon?
Maybe high noon?
Yeah, high noon.
The game's at high noon. Actually, guys, next week, 7.
Guys, the game is, oh yeah, you're right. You're right, you're right. For next week. But in general, 7! 1 o'clock game, let them know it's starting at high noon because they can't start on time. But all those gripes, all those nitpicks aside, I think we learned he's not going to let the bottom fall out. And
right.
I was questioning going into last week if the bottom was going to fall out. And yeah, he's not going to let that happen.
Because I wonder if just locally, overall, Vrabel was being a little bit overrated. I think people liked the hire. He wasn't neither of our first choices, but we're like, all right, it's a real head coach, real guy, and you know, we'll see where it goes. There was some success there in Tennessee, and not even having a great quarterback, got to an AFC title game. And on a week-to-week basis, it's not as simple as this, but you usually look at like the head coach quarterback combination. And if you're like, if Mike Vrabel, Drake May can't beat Dave Canales and Bryce Young, going to be a long year. Going to be a really long year.
Yeah.
And so not only did they beat him, but it wasn't even close. You're like, all right, great. Like, that is at least a step forward where who knows where this season is going to end. We all have our predictions for it. But if you're able to beat those bad teams, because there are so many bad teams. There are so many in
the league,
NFL.
And
there's
specifically, so many. They're all on your
schedule.
Yeah,
you happen to play them all. But I'm just saying, like, in general, like, there's a lot. Like, every team has to look at their schedule. There's always there's at least a trash bag team, like, in every division.
Yeah.
And then you play another division. So now you're starting to count these games. Even teams with tough schedules have, like, 5 trash bag opponents. You happen to have more because of the way they balance and the parity that they want. But yeah, this was a good step forward.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They should open up a can of whoop-ass.
Marcus Jones down the sideline! Marcus Jones! And that's the punt return for a touchdown!
May,
can he keep it himself and take it? He will! He does! And that is a touchdown in New England!
Henderson
carries into the end zone for a Patriot touchdown! Antonio Gibson, and that's a Patriot touchdown! And Hunter Henry has a touchdown! Firing easy for that! That's a touchdown to Matt Collins.
42-13. And the Patriots even their record at 2-2.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Yeah, go fast.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Not always great when you end a game with a battle of backup quarterbacks, but it was yesterday for your New England Patriots when we saw Dobbs versus Dalton in the fourth quarter because the Patriots were... You got to turn your microphone on.
I thought it was my producer's job.
I know you're not familiar with the studio here, but you got to turn the microphone
shots
on.
Shots fired. Hashtag home studio Fitzy.
Twitch
hashtag
chat wants to know, did you leave your parents' second floor studio today?
I was running a sick board all week last week. I walked in
These
here today.
These are my peeps, by the way.
And
Twitch
chat, please.
I forgot about them for like 6 months, but I'm back,
thumping
baby.
Your chest like Rory McIlroy when he takes down the Americans at Bethpage. Please. Hey, now you're knocking me off my spot. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Normally, you see a tweet at Patriots put out like, Josh Dobbs is in at quarterback. That can mean only one of two things. It all went to hell, or, man, they must be kicking the crap out of the Panthers. Turns out, they were kicking the Carolina Kitties all over the field at the race.
Mike Giardi, right again. We were all right. We all picked
all
the
right.
Patriots. Many of us with like double-digit spreads. Now it was even a wider difference than that.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't start great. The start continues to be an issue, but that's picking nits at this point because you blow out the Panthers. Panthers didn't want to be there. Defense didn't want to be there. Bryce Young didn't want to be there anymore. Nobody wanted to be there. Meanwhile, the Patriots are just piling up big plays, mostly led by a couple guys we'll speak to here on WEEI Afternoons. 315, Drake May, 155.6 passer rating, 3 total touchdowns.
I heard he's the new Tom Brady.
We might have to do the cliche radio pump the brakes on that one, but he is being compared statistically to the likes of Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. MVPs, all of them.
I don't want to be compared to 2025 Lamar Jackson. That guy quit on his team.
No, this was previous Lamar Jackson. Back when he was good. When he was a really good player.
Yeah,
and he didn't quit on his team.
What happened to him?
He's hurt.
He's not hurt.
They're in a tough spot, though, but the Patriots are not. The Patriots have a better record than those Ravens. The Patriots are 2-2. The Patriots get a home win, thanks mostly to the fact that Jaylen Brown was in attendance up at the bell ringing behind Mark
Wahlberg. That's not why they won. They won because their offense clicked on every single level, and the Panthers, like you said, once they had that first drive and then the Patriots pushed back, it was like, oh, man, we thought you guys weren't going to push back after we struck first. You're going to play today? Okay, fine. We'll just roll
Warm
over.
The buses.
Yeah, no, honestly.
Oh, they rolled over like good kitties? You rubbed their belly for a little bit, and we all went home happy?
Can we catch the 4:30 out of TF Green back to Charlotte? It's like an hour and a half flight.
So the biggest takeaway has to be Drake May. You know, I know Marcus Jones changed the game for you, and we're going to get into that, because I do believe he was the ignition that allowed the rest of the team to take off. But Drake May, I believe, has now in 3 straight weeks played the best games of his Patriots career. The Miami game, last week when you, can't do it, Andy, take out the turnovers, and this week where he goes 14 of 17, 203 yards, as I said, 2 passing touchdowns, had a rushing touchdown. The efficiency with which Drake May is now working over the last 3 weeks is remarkable. Year 2 jump, right? That's what we're looking for? Year 2 jump?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if this 3-game sample, eliminate week 1, well, you know, in statistics, you, like, get rid of the polls. No, like, you take out the high, you take out the low. Week 1.
Yeah, it's like it's a breakfast ball or a mulligan in golf, or it's like, you know, a lot of modern grading systems where they say, like, we'll drop your lowest score.
Absolutely. Drop that. He's been really good. Oh, yeah. He looks really comfortable. He looks like he's having fun. He's even showing a little personality. He didn't say, yeah, yeah, when he had a rushing touchdown. He ripped his shirt open like he was Cam Newton.
A homage to a star.
Yes, homage. Absolutely. The Charlotte boy, or greater Charlotte boy, was showing his love for Cam Newton. Yes, Dan Ball.
I'm developing a take, good afternoon, gentlemen, by the way, that he would not have done that if you guys didn't talk about Cam Newton last week with him on the show.
Okay. I think that's a strong take.
Fair point. Also, we mentioned Cam Newton Friday in our coordinator interview with Josh McDaniels, and Josh spoke glowingly of the year that he spent with Cam. Cameron, he called him. Very special. Very special year.
Cameron is a special guy, and we'll see. We'll ask Drake May around 3:15 if that was something that was premeditated, if it was just caught up in the moment, because he continues to say he's not the most emotional guy on the field, and he wants to do a better job of that. I'm going to ask him, I think that might also be a good thing. If you're not that emotional, you know what that means? You're even keeled. You avoid the too high and the too low. You know, Cam Newton, I think, at times got too high and too low in the midst of, especially in his Patriots career.
I can tell you who also got too high and too low, the guy that followed Cam Newton.
The guy who used himself in the thigh Michael when he would
McCorkle
throw a pick
Jones.
In practice.
Yeah.
Self-flagellation senior there.
Remember, we all thought it was so fun. Like, I heard he was yelling at Nick Saban from the parking lot, and
nope,
Nick Saban
psycho.
Told him to go home. Like, nope, turns out, total head case.
Wound way too tight. Snapped the head off that screw, and you were toast here in New England, Mac Jones. So, yes, according to the text line, it's Overreaction Monday on WEEI. Mm-hmm. No, I would say it's properly reacting Monday because
they played a bad team and they kicked the crap out of the bad team.
You like to keep track of this. I believe this is start 16
yes,
for Drake May.
Still hasn't finished his rookie year.
Start 16, and we're starting to get those SID tweets, comparisons to some of the great quarterbacks. People are starting to look at the Josh Allen evolution or the Justin Herbert evolution. We saw a game with, can you get back to me, Dan Ball, on the number of turnovers that Drake May had yesterday? Because everybody said he has to do two things. He needs to eliminate turnovers and get a win. How many turnovers did he have yesterday, Dan Ball?
I believe it's a big goose egg. I added it, carried the two, and it still came out of zero.
Perfect. So he, zero turnovers.
Yep.
He got the win in convincing fashion at home, which normally you'd be like, oh, show me what you can do on the road. No, at home is a problem. 3-16 in their last 19. He got the win. I don't know how you can feel anything but good about Drake May. Actually, I'm going to put out an early challenge. 617-779-7937. If you are a Drake May doubter or hater or don't think he's all that and a bag of nuts, give us a call. Because I know there is still a group out there that they're going to remain somewhat quiet today.
Oh, really? Because I think there actually happens to be one on the line right now. I think he has access to a microphone.
Listen, Drake May had a great game yesterday. I'm not going to deny that. Cleaned up the mess from, you know, weeks prior, which is what I said I thought they would do on Friday. Mm. It was the Panthers. So do it against the top.
Oh, so he gets no credit?
No, I'm not saying. I just gave him credit. That
you
was the very
was the
first
Panthers.
Thing that I did.
What'd the Panthers do the week before?
Let him.
Pause your honor.
I want to see him do
pause
it against the top 10 defense and when it matters.
What did the Panthers do the week before? They took Michael Penix, mm-hmm. also a second-year quarterback, also a first-round pick from the same draft class, and embarrassed him 30-0. Pick six, shut mm-hmm. him out. And I know that's a division game, so there is a little bit of a wrinkle there. I do think division games are always different. But I do believe there are people, as my guy Alex Cora would say, I do believe there are people like Stiz that are really going to be slow and hesitant to praise Drake May and to give him the credit he deserves. He was so hard on himself yesterday. Did you guys hear him say he was mad about the one sack?
Yeah.
He felt bad for his offensive line. It should have been a potential shutout sack day, and he gave them the cheap one-yard sack, and he's like, I apologize to those guys. Drake May's leadership, mm-hmm. execution, it's all coming into play. And, yes, is there a tough game on the horizon? We're going to push that off till later in the week. You got Buffalo Sunday night, but guess what? After that tough game, lots of not-as-tough games against very winnable opposition for Drake May to pick up some steam here.
Three more winnable games following the Buffalo game. But dare I say, if we are holding Drake May to this numerical standard of you will finish your rookie year and be a sophomore sensation in the NFL after you play or start 17 games, is there a more fitting final start to this prolonged rookie year than going to Buffalo to play the guy you have been most often compared to?
No, it's perfect. And
it
I don't
perfect.
I don't want to roll with those comparisons quite yet. It's just not fair to
who
Drake
said
May.
Sports radio. Who said it's fair?
No, I know, because and I get the skills. I mean, I was literally the first person to compare him to Josh Allen. Brag on television. But
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. I can go back and show you the NBC Sports Boston where I compared him with Phil Perry in an appearance, and we go off the air, and Phil Perry goes, interesting, Josh Allen, I've never heard that one before. And if Phil Perry hasn't heard it, it wasn't out there yet, because he does Next Pats, This Pats, Past Pats podcast.
Oh, my God.
So, I think the comparison is interesting, but for now, just let Drake May be Drake May for whoever the hell he is. The more apt comparisons, I would say, you know what's interesting comparison? How about the guy he played on Sunday? Former first pick. A year earlier,
Bryce Young,
former number one overall pick. That's a franchise quarterback. Who looks better, Stiz? Stiz, who looked better, Bryce Young or Drake May?
Answer the question.
Drake.
Yeah. Who looked better recently? Would that be Penix or May? That's May. J.J. McCarthy. Oh, you can't compare him because he's hurt after he had one good quarter.
Who's
seven
taller,
bad
you
quarters.
Or Bryce Young? Dude, Mark Schlereth even said yesterday, and he's not even 5'10". Why did we allow people to entertain the notion of like, oh, he's 6 feet tall? Dude makes Drew Brees look like Sean Bradley.
Oh, he's tiny. He had that one where they're like, Tonga got his hand up. No. Tonga blocked it with his chin.
He threw it into Tonga's face.
Right here. Hit him right in the bottom of the face mask.
By the way, side note to a side note, Kyrie's Tonga's a pretty good football player.
Also my favorite celebrator. I don't know if you guys saw when he was leading the way for the first Marcus Jones long punt return. At the 40-yard line, he looked over his shoulder, saw Marcus cut back across the punter, and threw his fist in the air to celebrate at the 40-yard line. You had a defensive lineman celebrating like he's Deion Sanders at the 40-yard line because he knew Marcus Jones was gone. That was the big play that sprung the day that they needed. I'm not going to pretend they didn't need it because they gave up an early drive and then they went three and out and you're like, oh no, are we going to be one of those dog fights with a dog bleep team on the other side
of the
ball?
I've seen Carolina come in here and win when they weren't supposed to. Granted, that was 8 years ago when it was, oddly enough, Cam Newton versus Tom Brady. Not really in the mood for one of those right now. Thanks very little. And you got, as we said yesterday on the Six Rings postgame show, thanks for listening, everybody, you got the catalyst, you got the spark, you got the smelling salts to wake the team up in the form of that Marcus Jones 88-yard touchdown.
So I think this is trolling me in the 207. I wonder if Drake May likes to win. I feel like that may be a troll job for a certain question asked by a certain host on a certain first interview of the season here.
Which way he's also going in terms of like where his career is. Like it's certainly past the crossroads, right?
There's no crossroads.
Is there an intersection at least?
You know what the question is now?
Is there a stoplight?
Overreaction Andy on a Monday?
Oh, yeah? What's that?
How much are you going to have to pay him? Does it go over half a billion dollars?
There you go. Ask him that.
I think Dan Ball just rolled his eyes back there.
There you go. Ask him. Drake, have you planned on what you're going to do with your first half billion?
When you get a half billion dollars, can you give me like $50,000? You won't even notice it's gone when
you
kind of
owe it to
billion.
Me for calling you Josh Allen light and pumping your tires the way I did.
I believe it's a fact that he's been dominant since somebody asked him if he had the fire to win football games, and I believe that was me. So I should take a little credit.
You believe this?
I knew yesterday.
At least you've been the producer's box. The stink of this arrogance and just
I couldn't even enjoy yesterday's victory as much as I wanted because I knew how insufferable Andy was.
Why am I insufferable? No,
it's not just Andy.
Join the fun. Drake May is showing that he can be what we thought he could be. Ted will join the fun tomorrow.
Next Monday.
Ted was a bit. I will. I talk to you every Monday, so that's kind of not a weird challenge.
It's kind of
the
way it works.
Where's Andy if he's not in on a Monday? Could he have a difficult challenge in Buffalo? Sure. Could he struggle a little bit? Sure. Are they all going to be easy from here on out? No. We see the great ones. Josh Allen's the perfect example. As much as he's accomplished, you know what everybody says? When's he going to win in the playoffs? When's he going to win a Super Bowl? Lamar Jackson, MVPs. When's he going to win there's challenges on the horizon. Week one, we were questioning Drake May's future. I think some people were questioning whether he's the guy. In fact, I believe we got phone calls and texts of people saying, he's not the guy. You're going to be looking for another quarterback shortly thereafter. This isn't working. There's too much on his plate. What's he doing with Josh? I even asked the question, is he thinking too much about what he's not supposed to do, the mistakes he's not supposed to make? Now, 3 weeks later, and that's a long time in the NFL. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks is a lot of games. Like, you're a month into the season now, a quarter of the season. Just ask Cam Ward. If we're keeping it 100, if we're keeping it a buck here with Drake May, he's legit. He's getting the job done. And I don't know how you can dispute that. He's having a great stretch of games here, and none of it is being carried by anybody else. That's the other thing. Yesterday was a really nice day for Stephon Diggs, 100-yard game. The previous week, it was a really nice day by Hunter Henry. The week before that, it was a really nice day by Ramondre Stevenson. The week before that, it was a really nice day by Kayshon Booty. You notice a trend?
Mm-hmm.
Four really nice days by four different guys. He doesn't have a go-to guy. He doesn't have a true number one. You know, a guy like A.J. Brown who gets the ball for like 4 yards a game.
And
no true number one's like that. Really happy about it afterwards,
even in the face of victory. No.
So don't we credit Drake May for that? We used to credit Tom Brady when he spread the ball around.
Tom Brady has spread the ball around to seven different receivers.
And it's only 3 minutes into the first quarter.
Right. Drake May's had four different leading targets in four games. Isn't that a sign of a young quarterback that's doing a nice job?
Is that a sign of a quarterback that's doing a nice job? Or is that a sign of, well, I'm just going to throw it to whoever's open?
That's what he's supposed to do. Have you heard his head coach? He said it like 17 times. Even Tom Brady used to pretend it. Now, Tom Brady with the game on the line wouldn't throw to who's open. He would throw to Gronk.
Don't you just love having like one guy you know you can always go to?
Maybe we can dream of that someday. But right now, the young quarterback who is developing is throwing to the open receiver. He's throwing to the matchups he likes. Four straight weeks, four different leading receivers. Week one, remember Booty was the number one receiver? He was going to have 1,700 yards. Hasn't really played out.
He looked like he wanted to go to him yesterday early, and then it was like, ooh, I almost threw that to the other team. Maybe I shouldn't do that.
That was his lone really bad decision of the day.
One of three incompletions.
The other two incompletions early in the second half weren't great throws. One was the one over the middle where he got Ben Brown got bull rushed into him, and I don't think he could follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it was about as clean and efficient a day as you could have for a quarterback who has not yet had one full season under his belt in the National Football League. And Stiz, you were being a little disrespectful. The Panthers came in with a pretty good pass defense. They have a good secondary of playmakers. They have a good defensive front, and they made life really tough a week earlier on Michael Penix, another young, developing quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, stop it. Don't be disingenuous. Going into this game, everyone was like, I mean, Giardi, whoop ass.
And you were supposed to run the ball. Their pass defense was pretty good.
What did the Falcons do yesterday? Surprise the Commanders. 34-27. How about that, huh? See, it's a topsy-turvy league. You only get to play one team each week. They came in with a hot hand. Pretty banged up.
Yes, Dan Ball.
He also only threw the ball 18 or 17 times. Yeah. So, I mean, they did run the ball considerably more than they passed. I think McDaniels deserves more credit than you guys are giving May right now.
You don't have to convince me. I put our show poll today out, and I'll give the results later. Of the three regular guests who had the best day, I said it was Josh McDaniels, Drake May, Marcus Jones. You can go now at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. But I think Josh McDaniels was phenomenal yesterday. And that's a two-pronged point. One, I think Josh McDaniels is a really good offensive coordinator. Two, I think he's getting comfortable with Drake May, his quarterback, the play action
and vice
game,
versa.
What he likes, all of that.
Vice versa as well. Like, Drake May is getting more comfortable with the McDaniels system. Like, once they hit that Neuralink and one is thinking like the other, that's when the offense opens up.
Then you're all in really big trouble because you're going to get your asses whooped, especially if they get a number one receiver. 617-779-7937. How are we feeling about Drake May, his development? Doesn't seem like there's too much on his plate anymore. Is he a top 10 quarterback all of a sudden? Lots of that roaming around the internet. Top 10 quarterback Drake May, less than a year into his NFL starting career. 617-779-7937. Or are you a doubter? Do you still think he's not the guy? And I would give you much credit if you have the balls to come on the radio today and say Drake May is not the guy for the Patriots.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.